This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The world economy reacts to the death of Osama bin Laden.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. World leaders are applauding the news of Osama bin Laden's death. The French finance minister said today, among other things, the news will boost confidence in the U.S. economy and the U.S. dollar. Oil and gold are trading lower and global stock markets are higher. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Investors are betting that the world just became a safer place. They've pulled their money out of so-called safe havens like gold and ploughed it into riskier assets like shares. The price of oil has fallen too on the hope of a more peaceful Middle East. But some analysts have spotted a downside. Robert Cole is with the financial website Breaking Views. He says if the world is a safer place, it'll get harder for the U.S. government to pay its way because U.S. government bonds will be less attractive.
This has been the ultimate safe haven over the last 10 years. If people are getting more adventurous, perhaps money will come out of treasuries, which means that actually it could cost the U.S. government more in interest going forward.
But other analysts say it is much too early to assume that the world is safer. The US State Department has warned of reprisals from Al-Qaeda and has issued a global travel alert warning of the danger of increased anti-American violence. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Markets around the world are higher with news of the Al-Qaeda leader's death. European shares are up right now, an average of 0.5%. Japan's Nikkei rose 1.5%. Osama bin Laden's death gave investors hope for a more stable Middle East, so oil is down today, trading below $113 a barrel. Chrysler this morning said it made a profit for the first time since getting out of bankruptcy. Dish Network said profits more than doubled there. Wall Street Friday, the Dow tacked on 47 points to close at 12,810. Well, there are a lot of questions about what happens to Al-Qaeda now that Osama bin Laden is dead. One of those questions has to do with the funding for the terrorist operation and whether its finances will take a hit. Philip Zelikow was executive director of the 9/11 Commission, which released its report in 2004. He's with us now from his home in Charlottesville, Virginia. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
It's been years since the 9/11 report came out. Did you think we'd see this day?
I actually thought we probably would see this day in the nearly 7 years since we published our report. I knew the United States was going to keep working this problem. Our forces had repeatedly located and killed senior Al-Qaeda officials. Over time, there was a good chance that we would eventually catch a break.
In the report, you talk about the continued operations of Al-Qaeda. How much does bin Laden's death hamper its future funding?
The organization doesn't need a huge amount of funding. I think the significance is less in their fundraising capability and more in the worldwide symbolic presence of the organization. And bin Laden is an inspirational figure. Both his death and the success of the United States in tracking him down signals that there are other outlets for change in the Arab and Muslim world, and that Al-Qaeda increasingly will seem a peripheral organization whose leader is now gone and maybe something that more and more seems like something of the past.
The Obama administration threw a lot of money at this operation. You think that helped?
Well, the main investments we've made is in the creation of these capabilities in the Joint Special Operations Command, and those are large investments. They've been made over a long time. The additional amount of money in order to get that organization to mount this operation, man, it's worth it.
Philip Zelikow is co-author of the 9/11 report. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
The killing of Osama bin Laden took place in a huge compound just outside of the Pakistani capital of Islamabad. And since 9/11, Pakistan has been an ally in the U.S. fight against terrorism and a recipient of billions of dollars in U.S. financial aid. But just how much a role Pakistan played in bin Laden's death is debatable. Dr. Farzana Sheikh is author of the book Making Sense of Pakistan. She's with us now. Hello.
Hello.
Did our ties with the country of Pakistan help us with this operation?
It's really very difficult to tell. I mean, as you know, we've had very strained relations between the United States and Pakistan in the last few weeks and months. And certainly the Pakistani government has gone out of its way in this morning's statement to say that the capture and killing of Mr. bin Laden was entirely an American operation. I think for the Pakistani authorities, it's extremely difficult in the climate of anti-Pakistani sentiment in the country to claim that it had a decisive role in this latest operation. I suspect, though, that the Pakistani authorities were probably not taken into confidence by the United States because, of course, there is a long history of mistrust between these two apparent allies.
Well, what about the financial relationship between the United States and Pakistan? We've given lots of money to Pakistan over the years in the anti-terrorism effort.
Absolutely. And that money, to the tune of something like $1 billion a year, could now be compromised because I think it's no secret that assistance to Pakistan was predicated on its cooperation in this war with the United States, and with the chief objective of that war having now been achieved, there will certainly be question marks about whether or not Pakistan deserves or merits to receive the kind of assistance that it has received from the United States over these last few years.
Dr. Farzana Sheikh, author of Making Sense of Pakistan. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you.
And there's more on the financial implications of the death of Osama bin Laden at our website, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Don't ask, don't tell is still the law. So colleges and universities that don't let military recruiters on campus don't get federal dollars.
On average, it probably costs a law school about $500,000 a year.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the price you pay for taking a stand. Next time on Marketplace, today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.